be coming. All right. He built the ark and called the people, but the people laughed at him. Is that right? The rain started to come. They still laughed. But as the water began to rise and flood the land, they began to turn to Noah and cry. Noah led us into the ark. But it was too late, wasn't it? Noah said, it's too late. Can't open the door. And Noah had taken male and female from every animal along with he and his family. Is that right? Okay, I don't have time to give you all this today, but read Muhammad Speaks, Bilalian News. Muhammad Speaks on the center page. Bilalian News is the whole paper. So you read it, and you will get the rest of this later on. But for now, I'm just going to briefly tell it to you, in brief, leaving much of it out. All right, now, here a man takes animals in pairs from all the creatures. Now, we know this is ridiculous. So what it means, God is not ridiculous. God is supreme in his wisdom. So what does it mean? It means this. Animal represents your slavery to your physical body. Anybody that's a slave to their physical body is an animal of some kind. You might be a horse, a mule, a dog, a snake, an eagle, a buzzard, a crab, a buffalo, a trout, an ant, a worm. You're some kind of animal if you are a slave to your physical body. So what does it mean that God told Noah, take animal, one, male and female, from all the animals. And it names a lot of them. Couldn't name all of them. But it named so many to let you know he was trying to take all of them. Is that right? What does it mean then? It means this. The book says that God caused the flood to destroy all flesh. Isn't that what the book says? It says that God brought the flood to destroy all flesh on earth. And at the same time, the book says that God told Noah to bring animal flesh into the ark to save it. And all this time, they have not caught on until today. All right. It means this. It stands there to alert your mind if you're awake that, no, God is not destroying all flesh like what you think about. You see, he said, bring the animals on board. They are flesh, and they represent weaker flesh than human flesh. You see? So bring flesh on blood, on board. Not just one kind, bring all kinds of animals. God is not going to destroy the world. God is not going to destroy life. He's not going to destroy flesh. What is this rain going to destroy? That's going to rain down for 40 days and 40 nights. This is a moral rain. A rain that's not going to be God's rain from his own doings, but he's going to cause it. It's going to be the wrath of the world. He's going to cause the world to rain. Do you understand? Follow me now. The people in Noah's day, they wouldn't unite. Noah couldn't get them together. They wouldn't unite because one thought he had as much sense as the other. They all boast in their own moral philosophy. So So God said that he's going to cause a reign of moral philosophy. And it's going to reign for 40 days and 40 nights. The 40 stand again for a secret and symbolic meaning. 40 means until, for as long as it takes to complete the making of this prophet, Noah. Because Noah started off, he didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what God called him for. And he couldn't understand it. He only accepted what God told him. But the rain must fall until I finish making Noah. 40 stands for prophet. In the scripture. I'm not going to go and bring you the proof now. It's there. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving. So after 40 days, I'm going to let these people be in moral confusion. I'm going to let them go to the extreme in flooding their society with their own moral doctrines. I'm going to let this world of Noah become flooded with moral puritanism. This one saying, I'm more righteous than the other. My way is better than yours. I'm purer than you. I'm more holier than you. I'm cleaner than you. This self-righteousness, this so-called puritanism, God say, I'm going to rain it down for 40 days and 40 nights. And it's going to destroy all life. So look what the book says. The water began to rise. Is that right? It doesn't say the heavens began to fill the earth with water. It says the water began to rise. It was raining down from the mouth of those false preachers of moral truth. And it was filling the earth, filling the society. And as it grew up, as it rose up, it began to drown them. What does drowning mean? It rose up so high that it covered the mountaintop. It even drowned the mountain. Is that right? What does this mean? It means that if people continue to bicker with each other, continue to argue in petty disputes over who was purer than the other one, that I will lead you to keep on doing that. I'm not going to stop you. I'll let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I'll let it rain until I form my man and present him in an ark riding on top of your water, your so-called puritanism, your so-called self-righteousness. I'll let my man ride safe on the top of it in an ark protected from you and your so-called puritanism. And then after I've completed his development, then I will let him come out and populate the world again. Is that right? Okay, I'm quickly going over this. You'll get it in full one day in the paper. All right now. The book says that after 40 days and 40 nights, the waters began to assuage. Is that right? Mean that they begin to go down. Is that right? What does that mean? Mean after Noah became fully made as a man of God, then the waters, just by the very fact that a man is live and a man is divinely alert in the land, just the very Noah sent out a raven bird. Is that right?
That's right.
Right, a raven bird. Sent out an old raven bird. Now that book tells us something about that raven bird, right? It says, observe that old raven bird. He doesn't talk. What they call it? What they call the bird? No, the bird that the book says he doesn't talk. He doesn't work for his living. No, not the buzzard. No, not the vulture. It's the raven. The sparrow, that's right. The sparrow bird. See, he doesn't tall, is that right? But nevertheless, God clothed him and provided for him. Is that right? Now, this old raven bird, he is a bird that looks poor. Raven looks poor.
You ever see a picture of a raven? He looks sad and poor. He looks like he ain't got a friend in the world. The raven is a lot like the crow. You know these old city crows? The raven is a bird that just, he's hard to get along with.
You throw food out when the ravens come, they can't hardly eat for fighting each other. And they don't know how to prepare for hard times. They're so caught up into fighting over what's here now that they can't get together to plan for hard times. So the book says that he sent out a raven bird first to see if there was any land. Why had land disappeared? Because if you get caught up into Puritan arguments, you're going to neglect the cultivation of the society. Pretty soon your home go down. After a while the city go down. Pretty soon there are no banks. Land means physical wealth. After a while you don't have no land. All you got is water. Moral philosophy. You're just drowning in moral philosophy with no physical land to stand on. So this is teaching us what will happen to a people if they don't let themselves be called and attracted by wisdom and get hung up on just moral arguments, saying I'm better than you and don't have no wisdom to prove it. Say I'm better than you because I pray five times a day. I'm better than you because I fast 3 days a month. I'm better than you because I don't eat but one meal a day. I'm better than you because I always say all praises due to Allah. And I thank him for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, this kind of argument, brother, will create Puritanism, a false Puritanism. It will create a false kind of moral flooding of the society. And pretty soon we are all drowning and we have neglected to build up the community physically. The school goes down. The college goes down. The banks are gone and we are just drowning in so-called water of moral Puritanism. So the book is telling us that first God confounded the speech of the people for them trying to go up too high physically. He drove them crazy with philosophies. Then they went from that extreme to Puritanism. And he let them drown themselves in moral, so-called Puritanism. Then he let the Noah, the prophetic, prophet type, he let him send out a raven to go and search the land, the earth, and see if he could find some land. Now the waters had gone down. They weren't up on the mountain anymore, meaning that there was some government above the water,
above this kind of petty argument.
But the people as a majority were still under water, were still under this kind of petty moral argument. So Noah sent out a raven. The raven went out, and what does the book say? He didn't return. What does that mean?
It means that he found something out there that he could live with. Hold up. Those who read the Bible think that it means he didn't find no land to light on, so he drowned. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that he found something out there that he liked. That old raven went out there and found, and he was right at home. Argument. That's what he liked. Petty argument. Picking and carrying on over crumbs. So Noah knew it wasn't time yet. If that raven found a place out there, it wasn't time. Hold up, brothers and sisters. Let us hurry up and go. So Moses then sent a turtle dove out there. The book doesn't say turtle dove. The book say dove. But I want to bring to your mind the meaning of dove. Turtle dove. A turtle dove is a loving creature. He's not mean and selfish, self-righteous, hateful. Think that he's better than everybody else. A turtle dove, he's just cool and he'll play with any bird. A loving bird. And he looks cleaner than the raven, but he don't rave about his cleanness. Is that right? All right. So he sent out a turtle dove. And the turtle dove went out and came back. He couldn't stand it. But since he came back, and being a turtle dove, he was able to bring a message back. He didn't want to stay out there. But turtle doves, like pigeons, could carry a message. So, and bring back a message. So he brought back the message to Noah that some land is out there now. So Noah went out, is that right? But this still wasn't right, was it? The book says that God caused the wind to blow. And the wind dried up the water. Isn't that what the book said? Okay. So what do we have here? We have a raven going out, and the water was still growling everybody. He was right at home with him. He liked petty arguments, boasting over self-righteousness and whatnot. He was right at home. He stayed out there with it. The turtle dove went out, a loving bird. He went out, and he came back and brought the message back to Noah. There's some land out there, all right, but I ain't gonna stay out there. I'm with you, Noah. Then God lastly caused the wind to blow, and the wind dried up the water from the land. All right, what does this mean? There's a double message there. Concerning something after the story of Noah. I won't go into that. I'll only go into the first message, the message of that Noah book. And that is this, that if you want to bring a people together that's caught up or drowning in petty religious arguments over who is better than the other, morally or spiritually, righteously, don't go out trying to teach them wisdom. They won't hear it. When they get to that point, you can't even teach them love. They won't hear it. Send a raven out among them and see if they will be shamed out of their pettiness by the raven. So the raven goes out and people look at him. How selfish he is, how hard to get along with he is. And maybe this will make them look at the raven and say, we are like that. We should stop being like that. So the raven will go out and live among them because he likes them. But if he stays among them a long time, after a while, some of them are going to learn a lesson. They're going to see themselves, their shame, in the raven. And some of the water will begin to roll back to its boundaries. Get back in its place, and we'll have some land showing up. But there'll still be too much water on land for Noah and the normal society to live. He'll have to send out a turtle dove. All right. So when people now, when they stop arguing, when they get so they don't argue so much, they're not drowning each other in these petty moral arguments. They still are not ready to receive knowledge straight from God. Their brains are too dead. Their moral nature has grown so big until it grew artificial. Their mind was deprived of any development. So now you can't get them by going to them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Go to them and show them the example of love. Send a turtle dove among them. Let them see how turtle doves live, how they kiss each other, how they make their little cooing noises and flutter about each other. You see? That turtle dove, not any kind of dove, turtle dove. All right. So when they see this, this example will start bringing out the natural desire in them, or the natural nature in them, to be loving with each other. You see? Now, after you have that among them for a while, we almost about to conclude this subject. It's going pretty good. And believe me, I done worn the hell out of some of you. But you're still here. You're still here, so it shows me that you do have some kind of allegiance to something. You just wouldn't stay here if you didn't have allegiance to something. So that's good. All right. After you give them an example of love, not by teaching them, but letting them see you loving, they'll begin to wake up and see their shame. Now, don't you know the unity and the love that we have displayed as the lost foundation of Islam in America in the first resurrection and today? Don't you know that that have shamed a lot of our people out of being ravens, self-righteous, bickerers, petty arguers, just debating and arguing and fighting and hating each other all the time? Don't you know we have brought them out of a lot of that pettiness? We have caused the waters to assuage. We have caused the waters to go down just by the fact of the very presence of Master Farad Muhammad in the teaching. The waters began to go down. But we were still in the ark. Is that right? Still in the ark. Still riding the surface of the water. But just the very presence of the Noah in the ark made the water start going down. You see? Now, then, after that, the nation began to grow. And we began to show them raiment. We sent out black people from the temple who just mean, well, I'm telling you, and mean and petty, self-righteous, drowning in so-called Puritanism. And the people looked at this, say, good God Almighty, we didn't know how bad off we really were. But at the same time, we were preparing a turtle dove. So behind that raven, we sent out a turtle dove. And that turtle dove began to preach love and began to apologize for the ugliness of the Nation of Islam. Began to apologize for the ravens in the Nation of Islam. Is that right? And began to show the community that we love you, brother. You don't believe like we do, but we love. We began to embrace each other in the public. So I'm listening, brother. Is that right? Helping each other out in the community. This is the turtle dove demonstrating love and shaming the people out of their self-righteousness and hatred for each other. All right, now.
What's to come? Now we have to get some wind, right? What is wind? Wind, it forms right here. Here's where wind forms. The lungs form the wind in the chest. The lungs are near the heart. So this lung breathing is wind about the heart. What does that mean? We have given them an example of love. This example of love is going to bring about a stirring of wind in the chest around the heart. What does this mean again? Compassion. Compassion for each other. First, you give example. This example generates compassion in us for each other. Is that right? Now we have the winds blowing in our hearts, in our chest, that is around or very near our heart. And this wind of compassion now is going to dry up all the water of self-righteousness, of false puritanism, and going to enable us to really form our new world on the earth. This is the story of Noah. This is the story in Noah's history. And the book says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, at the end of time. Is that right? All right. So I showed you with this story that as it was in Noah's day, it has been in our day. We have shown by Raven, by that example, and that example has made many of us ashamed of that image among ourselves. Then we showed by the example of the turtle dove, and that example brought about the wind of compassion in our chest for each other. Is that right? And that removes all of the flood that was intended to destroy all life on earth. Not all true life, all false life. The life of false righteousness. All right. So, brother and sister, we have come to a time just like Noah's time. In this day and time, there's rabbis, imams, and priests, preachers, and whatever you want to call them, all over the world. And most of the world is looked upon as a religious world. Is that right? God is supposed to be all over. People are supposed to know about God all over. You come to the big cities, New York and Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, all these big cities, the church is there. God's word is being preached, so they say. Is that right? And in these cities, we also find synagogues, and we also find Muslims preaching, right? But with all of this flood, with all of this flooding of so-called puritanism, so-called righteousness, it hasn't enabled us, that is the poor, the land, those that are walked on, it hasn't enabled us to get any true strength on earth. Is that right? We haven't been able to develop. We haven't been able to come into real strength. So now the winds blow, the wind of compassions blow, and set the natural order again. And after the winds of compassion blow and set the order, then Moses can come down out of the ark and walk in the land. And the people will receive him. Noah can come down and walk among the people, and the land will receive him. There'll be a place in the land for him. Is that right? And he can begin building the new world order. We're at that point right now. We have had the flood. The ark was built. The ark rested on the mount. What does rested on the mount mean? Mean that the government accepted it. The government had accepted the lost foundation of Islam. The ark has rested on the mount. And we have come out of the ark now, that old boundary we thought was the lost foundation of Islam. We have come out of it now. And now we are walking among the people, in the society, carrying them the message that will truly bring life again in its original form to the earth. So as it was in the day of Noah, So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, there's much more to that, but we'll get it in the future, inshallah, in the articles that will appear in the Bilalian News. Concluding this, summing it up, the elements of earth, physical earth, water, air, and fire are very important elements, are very important symbolic terms or words in the scripture for us. The physical earth stands for people, more of physical development. And the first life of the people is formed out of the physical earth. When a baby comes here, the first thing he needs is something of the physical world to keep him alive, physically, right? But as the baby grows up, then he needs water. Water is moral teaching. So our baby born, we feed him physical food, but as the baby grows, we begin to give that baby some kind of moral teaching to protect that baby in the society, right? After the child gets the moral teaching, what we call mother wit, or mother teaching, at home, then the baby goes from the house. Many times it doesn't have to go from the house, but in our new modern world, the baby goes from the house to school. And then the school gives the baby what we call book knowledge, is that right? And that book knowledge builds the mind, the brain, the intelligence of the baby, of the child. The physical is under the symbol of physical earth, or dry earth, in the Bible and in the whole Quran. Stands for any physical development. Great physical development stands for great materialism. All right. Then they come to the water. And water represents the moral teachings. From water, we go to fire. Fire stands for book knowledge, intelligence, learning. Of this world, fire is of this world, right? You see, the fire that we make is of this world. Okay, so we have physical earth, water, fire. We have one other we missed, air. Air stands for the emotional nature of the people.
Yes, sir.
Emotional nature of the people.
Yes, sir.
Now, air also carries words.
Yes, sir.
When you speak,
yes, sir.
Every time you speak, if you put your hand to your mouth, there's a gush, a pressure of air with every word.
Yes, sir.
The stronger the word, the more you stronger the pressure. Now, words are carried by air, and they reach you by air, right? So air also, when it says that God breathed air, it means that air is coming with his message to you. You see? All right. But still, it is of an emotional nature, because before you receive the message that is, that is in, or the meaning that is in the word of the message, you respond emotionally to it, right? Because God, because of God, or because of your own awareness that you've come into, moral awareness or spiritual awareness, you respond emotionally to it. And then you have to gradually get the word or the meaning in that emotional message. Is that right? And as you get the meaning, then you have something else to stand upon. It's not just love, it's not just emotionalism, but it's truth, it's reality, it's something real I see. That's the message that was in the word, or that was with the air, or with the breath that was breathed to you, right? Okay. Now, okay, let's go and name them again. Physical earth, or dry earth, water standing for the moral makeup, then air standing for the emotional makeup, which carry also words of wisdom, and then fire, which is the knowledge of this world. Fire. Now, the knowledge of this world is not bad. Original fire is good. Man go and study the world without the false grafted mind, artificial mind that this world put on you. When he studies the world, he gets the proper fire. He gets the good fire. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. But the fire of this world is wrong. It's bad. It's false fire. It burns you up, but and gives no light. It burns you up and gives no warmth. It burns you up and won't prepare your food for consumption. You see? So this is the fire of this world. Okay, so we have fire. Now we have a fifth one. What is that fifth one? The sun. That's the heavenly light. The heavenly fire. Now the book says that a certain one stole fire from heaven.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Means that he got in touch with divine truth. And then he stole it and distorted it and made it into the package that he wanted to give for the death of the people. He stole the heavenly fire. All right. Now we have the fifth one, which is the sun, standing for the heavenly fire. So we have the elements of physical dry earth, of water, then of air, and of earth, of fire, which of the earth, and then of air, and also the sun, which is above the air. Is that right? All right. The sun stands for the light of Almighty God himself. And that symbol, the physical sun, is used as a symbol standing for the truth, the knowledge that Almighty God gives himself. That light rules the world. Whether you know it or not, it always rules the world. Even when it looks dark at night, it's still ruling the world. Okay. Now, I want to, one other thing. I want to make sure that I complete this, what I have to give you. Oh, yes. Now, the book says that all life began from water. Isn't that what the book says? All life began from water. The Holy Quran says they created all life from water. All life began from water. And the Bible is in agreement too. The Bible says that waters covered the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, or upon the face of the deep. Is that right? And then God formed life out of the water. And then he formed life of the land and life of the air. So the Bible says too, that first there was water. Everything was water. And then God made life. And the Holy Quran says that he created all life from water. So what does this mean? What lesson is this? And this concludes our teaching for today. What lesson do we get out of this? We get this lesson. That you cannot bring a human being into life with physical, dry physical things. Money will not make your children alive as a human being. Fine clothes, a lot of toys, and a big old rich playhouse to live in won't make your children alive as human beings. It will keep them dead. You need water to start life in your house. Water is moral teaching. But let that water be from heaven. Let it be the pure waters of the Holy Quran, that I am interpreting to you out of the scripture. Give them that moral teaching, and that moral teaching will bring about the first forming of life in your house. You understand? Now, after you are formed in water, then you can go and live in land, our own land. You understand? So the life is formed first in the water, and then it comes in land. And after a while, it can ride the air. You see? All right, okay. All praise due to Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, I have completed what I have to say to you. And as you have read in the articles, we have the power to bring about a shortage in gravity, set the atmosphere afire. And we have also set the lake afire. That lake of sweet water that tastes good to the people. but it's bad for us. So-called Christianity. We have set that afire. And the book says that at the end of, in the end of time, the Son of Man would come. Christ would return. And he would return in the clouds, in the confusion of this religious world. And he would bring light into that confusion and light the whole world. And the book says that they saw a city come down out of the sky. A bright city. A city that didn't need the light of the sun or the moon. Because the people say God dwelled in that city. And God and the saints were the light of that city. Is that right? This is what we're building here right today. The Christians have talked about New Jerusalem, but they haven't seen it until right now. This is New Jerusalem. And in time, brother and sister, you shall see that we are the fulfillment of that 100%. The book says that that city was built squarely. Everything was equal. It was a just city, a just society, a society based upon the principles of freedom, justice, equality, and truth. That's New Jerusalem. And it was a city revealed out of the sky, which means out of heaven. Not that it comes from physical up, but it comes from moral up, spiritually up, intellectually up. That's what it means, divinely up. It comes from the highest point in moral excellence, in spiritual excellence, in divine excellence, in the excellence of truth and reality. And it comes down to the people because the people are on a low plane. But when it comes down to them, it opens their mind and it gives them light and they embrace it and they all become one in one divinely exalted community. Brothers and sisters, stick with what you have. Yes, sir. Never turn back. Yes, sir. Never doubt. You don't have any reason to doubt. Yes, sir. Even if you look hard, you can't find a reason to doubt. Yes, sir. So why waste time? Yes, sir. Be strong and be thankful. Yes, sir. And say, Almighty God, I knew that we over here in America prayed to you harder than anybody else on earth. Almighty God, I knew that we tried harder than any other people on the face of the earth. Now, Almighty God, I can say that I know that you exist and you have given credit to us for that sincerity we have, and you have blessed one of us to be the Imam, the Mujaddid, the reformer of the whole world. Thank you. Thank you very much. Salaam alaikum. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Under 2063,
Okay. All right. I'll take care of it. What? Now, just be patient. Just be patient for a minute or so. This hat, this cap, was one of the favorite caps of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, peace be upon him. Many times he sat at the dining table, and we could see that he really liked this hat. So I'm leaving this hat with Brother Minister Jeremiah Muslim Shaheed Shabazz, so that he will keep it in a safe place under glass and a lock, so that all of you can view it, can see it. I'm leaving it with anybody and everybody that appreciated the work and the life of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Let's hear it, Father, brother, leader, and teacher. All praises go to Allah. All praises go to Allah for the humble brother, Muhammad.